Trustee Johnson. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Bachner. Trustee O'Connell. Trustee Gillis.
Here.
President Naduce.
Here. Okay, we can all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Jay. Okay. All right. So do you want to speak different? No? Okay.
My name is Deborah Hill, and I'm here to speak about item 6J on the consent agenda. In asking questions about this proposed ordinance, I do not mean to imply or suggest in any way that I have a better idea or really any idea about how to address this very complicated humanitarian and legal issue. I appreciate the efforts of our village administration, our trustees, and our police force in trying to help protect the health and safety of our residents. A letter to the editor in this morning's Chicago Tribune mentioned possible legal challenges to ordinances passed by other Illinois municipalities that look similar to the ordinance in our packet. Some of you are shaking your heads. So my first question to all of you is, has the village's attorney weighed in on this ordinance and approved the concept and the idea? The ordinance looked a little bit more like a draft than a final version in the packet, so I don't know where you are on that process. My second question is, what have the police experienced to date that has led to this ordinance, or is it anticipatory? My hope is that the village does not end up being exposed to either claims of inhumanity or costly litigation. I have copies of the letter to the editor if anyone didn't see it. And if you want it, I have hard copies photocopied from an actual newspaper if you need them. I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could.
You read it. So you don't need it or you do want it?
I will.
You can.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. It was in Tribune.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Talk to the village attorney about it already.
I have more.
I rarely read the editorial, but today I read.
How about that?
I've got it. So you can do it. I read it. Okie dokie.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay. So we have a public hearing. So guess, Matt, I'll just hand it to you.
Okay. Good evening. The public hearing will now come to order. Let the record reflect that this is a public hearing being held pursuant to the requirements of Sections 10 and 20 of the Bond Issue Notification Act of the State of Illinois, as amended. Notice of this hearing was published on December 20th, 2023 in the Wednesday Journal, a newspaper of general circulation in the village. This is a hearing regarding a plan to issue not to exceed $600,000 in aggregate principal amount of the village's bonds. The proceeds of the bonds will be used to pay for, one, public infrastructure projects within the village, and two, certain costs of issuance of the bonds. The bonds will be issued by the village in accordance with the provisions of Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act of the State of Illinois, as amended, and shall constitute a general obligation of the village payable from non-referendum bond proceeds in accordance with provisions of Section 8-5-16 of the Municipal Code, which will not exceed 0.5% of the assessed value of all taxable property located within the village. This public hearing is required by Sections 10 and 20 of the Bond Issue Notification Act of the State of Illinois, as amended. At the time and place set for the public hearing, residents, taxpayers, and other interested persons will be given the opportunity to express their views for or against the proposed plan of financing, the issuance of the bonds, and the purpose of the issuance of the bonds. Is there anyone present that would like to submit any written or comments? Or is there anyone who would be willing to make any comments up at the podium?
Matt, can I just ask that I think I need to be added to the meeting?
Yeah, so Erica joined us at about 3 minutes ago. So 7:05. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Okay.
If there are no comments, we'll just look for a motion to close the public hearing.
Your motion to close the public hearing.
I move to close it.
Second.
The public hearing.
And then, Clerk Keller, if you could just call the roll, please. Thank you.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Very good. All right, so next up is the elected officials announcement. So I'll go ahead, Erica, if you can, don't mind, or you want me to go this way?
I'm still getting myself
okay, no worries. I'll start with Katie. Go ahead, if you don't mind.
Yep. I just have two items. They're both regarding sustainability. One is to say that as of January 1st, about a week ago, River Forest's ban on styrofoam went into effect. Polystyrene. So I haven't looked at the ordinance that we passed back in September recently, but I do recall that there was something in there that asked our sustainability commission to do some training and education on that. So for the like the first 4 months of it. So I'm just getting that, you know, back in front of the sustainability commission and asking that they do that because it's important. And then the second thing is I received in the mail in this yellow envelope an important notice to sign and give my ComEd account number to change my provider over from ComEd to Clean Choice, although it wasn't really easy to find that it was from that this was from Clean Choice. I think this is a legitimate thing that we negotiated so that we can offer our residents cleaner energy. But it's really unclear to me, and I wanted to know this, and I want to do the right thing here, but I'm asking the Sustainability Commission to do some education for our residents, because I would bet that most people would look at this document that says, important notice action requested. This is a solicitation. I'm asking for my signature and my current ComEd account number, and people's antenna would go up and they would throw it away.
That's clean, but it's not our air grid, right? Clean choice.
Correct. So understood.
This is not, so I should throw it away.
You should throw it away.
All the more reason we need to tell
her. I mean, it's a legitimate, a solicitation.
But the village has an agreement with another provider. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which provider is that?
MC2. I think it's MC2 square.
Okay. I believe.
Well, can we?
We'll make sure to put
let our residents know. Let residents. Well, I didn't know.
No.
I thought I was doing that.
I mean, yes, we've had these conversations in the past, and it's very difficult. And I agree, it's very confusing. And we've added that. I mean, one of the things we should do, and I don't think it's the Sustainability Commission, but next time the water bill goes out, we should probably put something in there, because that will get to everybody, Katie. I mean, we put it in a newsletter, and great example. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's still confusing. So I think if we can add a something in our water bill, I know I get mine electronically, but still a heading up there in terms of the provider that we've chosen is this. I mean, there are other choices. That's probably legit. It's just that the one that we've chosen was someone different.
It might be helpful to have it on the sustainability page also on the website, because I don't know that everyone looks at the fine print on the water bill.
Well, I get mine electronically. I never get a bill.
So you're not reading it. So
I'm reading it. I get mine, my paperless.
Oh, okay. So it would be on the e-version.
E-version and the
got
website.
Got it. Okay.
I've gone paperless.
Well,
oh, that's actually a good question.
Yes.
Yep.
I can bring this up later because I was going to ask the same thing to the village this week. But everything that goes in the paper one, if you get it electronically, do you get all of those pamphlets or flyers as well electronically?
I don't get it in the junk.
It should be.
Yes, I don't get any of it. Like when you say flyers, what do you
inserts?
Like such as
any time we're giving information. So I think like we did a run about the census.
Yeah, we put it up on the top. Like, well, go ahead, Rosie. But I think what we do is electronically. The one I've read is up on top.
I mean, I am not aware of maybe when we did the census, there was a very special insert put in. But on a normal basis, any information is when it's electronic, it shows up on the e-bill, and on the paper bill that comes in the mail, it's on the back of your statement. So there isn't an insert.
So we typically don't have an insert into it. If there's any information, it's like in the back of.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And everything you see in the paper is on the truck. Okay. But you can check that out too, Katie. might be a good buy. Okay, very good. Thank you. John, anything? Are you anything more?
I am.
I'm good.
Okay, great.
Okay. Just want to wish everyone a happy new year, and please be careful driving safely tomorrow with the snow predictions they're saying. So
I just saw that.
That's what they're saying.
Dang.
Yeah, 5 inches or more. We'll see. Yes, yes.
All right. It's going to be hopefully north of us.
Oh, okay.
And goes up. All right.
All right. I've got nothing to add. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lisa. Eric?
So I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we're mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We'll remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. So, I actually did receive the same thing in the mail and felt like it didn't feel like I had enough River Forest tie-in for it. But all of that is relatively confusing because sometimes like MC Squared, maybe they don't use their own name in it. So anything that we generally can do to try to keep up the clarity would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the inclement weather, is there anything that we should be reminding residents for the next evening or day or two about parking or anything about like trucks coming through?
Well, that's what you want.
Yeah, I think we would ask that residents try to limit the parking on any village streets to make it easier for our staff. If it's over 2 inches, the snow parking restrictions are in effect. Hope that neighbors are willing to help out other neighbors with shoveling and other things. We've got our senior snow removal program ready to go. We do have some limited spots available if anyone else is reminded about the weather and looking to sign up that didn't do it in the fall. But I think our public works department is ready to go, putting our new salt shed into action. Haven't used a lot of salt the last two seasons, so we are ready to go on an operation side.
Okay. And if somebody is interested in applying for the assistance with snow shoveling, what's the turnaround time for that? So like, let's say they go get the information, apply tomorrow.
We would do our best to try and get them out in response to the snowstorm. Yes, that is the plan. We've checked with our contractors to make sure they have available spots and staffing to be able to respond within 24 hours is what we try and set that expectation after it reaches 2 inches of accumulation. So, yes, we will make any effort to have a response quickly. And
yep, thanks in advance for everything you all are about to go through.
Yeah, that's good to be a hopefully it misses us, but okay, thanks. Thanks, Erica. I have nothing to report, it's a short, not short, but not eventful couple of weeks. So due to the holidays, hopefully everyone had a healthy and safe new year. Okay, so we'll move on to our consent agenda. We do have a consent agenda A through K. I can get a motion to authorize to move A through K.
I'd like to pull item J.
Yep. Okay. A through I and then K. Make a motion to.
I'd like to move the consent agenda items A through I and then K.
Second.
Okay. Any questions regarding those items? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, December 18th, 2023. B, administration department report. C, monthly department reports. D, accounts payable, December 2023. E, purchase of public works street sweeper, standard equipment of Elmhurst, Illinois, $304,507. F, award of contract, 2023, water main improvement project, $270,000. G, award of contract, 2024, concrete ADA ramp replacement, $113,270. H, award of contract, 2024, curb and sidewalk replacement program, $122,400. I, approval of motor fuel tax resolution, 2024 Rebuild Illinois Street Improvement Project, $736,279. K, authorization to extend contract for interim public works director, Gov Temps, $20,000. Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can I get then a motion to move 6J? Second.
I move to approve the 6J, the ordinance declaring rules and regulations regarding unscheduled intercity buses.
Second.
Okay. All right. I'm sure you guys have some questions, and I know Deborah brought some issues up, but just so you know, most of the proviso mayors and myself, along with Mayor Johnson, got on a phone call, and actually Mayor Johnson was very vocal about coordination of all of the suburban and city of Chicago inner city buses and unscheduled events that were happening in Chicago. And so at that time I always will look to the village attorney for his guidance on this, as well as of course Matt. And that's when I decided to go ahead and issue an executive order on December 29th, again, to coordinate all of our efforts with all the suburban mayors, at least the proviso mayors and city of Chicago. And since then, there's been many other municipalities that have passed similar, if not identical, ordinances. Again, for mostly humanitarian reasons, is to ensure that all of us are coordinating our efforts so that all the buses that are unscheduled actually get scheduled to the correct areas. So with that, I'm going to also... because the question did come up, and I think we ought to answer it, ask our village attorney to address any legality of it.
Yeah, so this is obviously untrodden ground. This has never happened before. Anyone can challenge anything and probably create a sufficient complaint to survive a motion to dismiss. There are many, many municipalities that are passing very similar ordinances. Draft ordinances have been considered by our firm, reviewed extensively by the Illinois Municipal League, by the local government attorneys association, and they all look relatively similar. And like the village president just indicated, the goal is to try to assure coordination because these buses are coming from far away and they have a schedule. They know where they're going. And so the idea is that when there is a drop off, there's usually at a train station that ultimately is destined for the city. And the scheduling can be important because if they miss the train or something happens, people can be there for a number of hours. And, you know, it's a fairly large group of people.
Which so, we've seen it in Glen Ellen.
Yeah. And I know in Lombard, one came the other night where it covered a board meeting and they missed the train. And so the police had to hang around for another couple hours, just observing to make sure that everyone was safe. And, you know, obviously these things also draw attention, some of it negative, and the police try to make sure that everything is, you know, operating smoothly. So the idea is coordination, but, you know, as far as guarantees that this might try to challenge it, can't do that. This is all new and untrodden ground. So we just do our best.
Yeah.
But I think the village president also indicated that these are all over. Not every municipality is passing one. Some do it by executive order alone. Some do it by policy. As a matter of fact, before President Adusi issued the executive order, Matt had put in place with the work of the police chief some similar operational ways of dealing with potential bus drop-offs. The idea being, though, that I think the village president thought that it'd be better to have it be more public so that the knowledge of it would get out. So that's what you have it. But I have reviewed it. We've done a number of these. Other municipal firms have done them. All reviewed each other's work. They've been around now for a number of weeks. There are also some regulations that actually were more deterrent oriented as far as potential use of suburban hotels. And you might have read about those. Those were actually more deterrent oriented, I think, than organizational oriented. But the goal is to try to make sure that everyone stays safe and the suburbs that are affected have as much notice as possible.
Thanks, Lance. Okay, so any questions from the trustees on this?
I've got a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. So I completely understand the reason for this ordinance. I'm glad that we took out some of the language that was in the executive order, because I do think that it is important to highlight who the bad actors are in this, and it's obviously not those seeking asylum, it's the bus operators who are either making money or not making money in transporting people. I also understand that we have very limited ways into how to make a statement or do work with this. So in general, I can understand the reasons for this. I do have a couple of questions, though. We talk about in the ordinance the area that we are specific to. So I think you said like Chicago, Naperville. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but sort of a tri-city area. And I do have questions about, like, if people are coming from Rockford, if people are coming from Springfield and come into the village, again, unscheduled, and it is not a shuttle or a service that's being provided by a business. Maybe they are using a shuttle for their own usage. What does that mean for those folks, right? Or even somebody coming out of state from somewhere else. I do think that what has not been addressed in here as well is if a bus is planning to go to a different town or aware of River Forest, you know, if we have this ordinance or something, but something happens. They need to get gas, they need to get food, something, the bus breaks down, what are we, what are our plans then? And how are we handling that? So I think I'll let you cover those couple of questions first. And then I might have some other ones.
Yeah. So. You want to take that, Matt?
Yeah.
Or you want me to? Or
so the way I would approach that, Trustee Bachman, is the when you have a set of rules, they have to be enforced. And the issues you brought up are largely ones of how the ordinance and the rules would be applied by the police department in consultation with Matt and the administration. There are always extraordinary circumstances, and those are the kinds of things that would be taken into account if there were a bus that wasn't strictly in compliance with the ordinance, but there were extenuating circumstances, unusual circumstances, things that were fact-specific to the situation that they were dealing with. The police department always tries to de-escalate whenever there's any enforcement issue. And so the goal there would be, we just expect our police department to do their usual great job in enforcing the rules.
Yeah, it might be worth it to put something in the ordinance describing those things just so that there is an awareness of that. There also is in the ordinance a reference to the application that the chief of police would put forth. I am hesitant in voting for this without a copy of the application. I think that that's just important to have as we're looking at this, since that is the basis of so much of this. I don't know if there is a draft for us to review that's available.
We do have an application. When the executive order was put in place, the police department put together an application. So there is an active one out there for use if anyone were to apply. So it's not necessarily a draft at this time. I think it could be a working document if we, depending on how we see that it's working. We can certainly share that with you and the board.
Yeah, I think that's important to go along with the background information for this ordinance.
So the application is available, just not attached to this ordinance.
Correct. So it was not included as part. By reaching out to the police department.
Yeah. So there's an active application, so we can certainly get you a copy of that active application.
Yeah. And it's probably tied closer to the executive ordinance, so it might ask things that we're not interested in asking for right now, like background checks of passengers and things like that.
But I don't think it's an application that, right? I mean, it's not going to be something that would deter us from looking at this ordinance right now. I mean, what would be in there that?
I would not want to have an application that requires background checks of all the passengers on the bus and to have that handed over to police. I think that would be really important to know.
Isn't that what's required here?
Yeah. That's what, so she's saying she wouldn't.
Everyone over 18 is my recollection.
Everyone 18, that's correct.
That is correct.
Yeah. So you're saying you don't want the background check?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, do we have that in this ordinance specifically?
Yeah. I think it is. Put it in there.
I don't think I read that in this ordinance, so if someone could let me know if that is still there. What I do think is good about this is requiring the buses to have a plan for disembarking folks, for what their housing is going to look like, what how are they going to give them food. I think that is an important part of this.
I don't think they're ready.
I see. Just on
I saw
B, section B, there's I through
right.
through 9. And it refers to asking for names and IDs of the passengers.
Right. If any, right.
Yeah. I don't see anything about a background check.
Yeah. That's what I saw as well. And that feels more humane. And if people don't have IDs, then they don't have them. And you know, aren't asking for that. I would be interested in hearing the rest of the table on the idea of even asking for IDs, but yeah. I think
Since it's to the extent such IDs exist or are in the possession of the passengers. So if they don't have them, they won't be able to show. But they probably, because they want to have a list of who the passengers are that are coming.
Well, that's a question, right? Like, if somebody does have an ID, how do we feel about requiring them to show it?
You're saying don't ask for an ID?
I'm asking how others feel about it. Oh. I think it's probably, I think we could probably
it
strike
the
it.
Chicago
but...
ordinance, right?
No.
It's what?
Came out of the Chicago ordinance.
Yes. I mean, they're all the same. Some ask for more information. There are positive things to be said for having an acknowledgement mm-hmm. of who's accounted for in case something were to happen.
Yep. Just so
someone went missing or something like that.
Closely aligned with the Chicago.
I understand that. Just wanting to make sure that even if it is closely aligned, that we're thinking through our own.
Yeah, of course we always do. Yeah.
I guess the other thing that I would just want to note is we are putting this in force. We are looking to maybe set up this ordinance today. The definitions of bus seem to be very specific here, right? Less than 10 passengers and things. And I do want to just recognize that this issue is evolving so quickly. And so, you know, I absolutely can foresee how people can circumvent this. We see all the different ways that are being circumvented right now. And like the fact that it's going to, you know, people probably would start using vans or something like that, right? So really, it would be good to have in place what happens to people if they walk up, or if we do need to address folks who may be coming in search of need, who might have a medical emergency if we see it, you know, on the bus. Like, from my own experience with asylum seekers, the medical emergencies that are coming through are really tough, really, really bad. So what are we doing in those cases?
And I think it's said in there, right, Matt, the discretion of the.
Yes, I'm not sure if it specifically is to the medical centers, but I think, yes, if a bus were to arrive and police were to become aware and was made aware of there being a medical emergency, our paramedics would certainly act to improve that. We've seen that happen in other municipalities.
That's standard operating procedure, because even if someone is being arrested upon immediately presenting any kind of medical problem, they're immediately treated as patients.
Right.
Immediately.
In this case, the folks aren't being arrested, though, right? So do we have something even like, you know, that we could list as a bad? I think Naperville has like a 7-page plan. That for something happens, you know, what are the steps that we take?
I guess wouldn't that happen? Is anybody walking into the village, and if they were to fall over, whatever, wouldn't that?
Yeah, that could be. It would be nice to see that for this case too, though, because we know
but that we don't have anything like that in writing for that. Yeah. We just
do it.
We do our official duties to that.
Yeah, I don't want to treat them any differently than we would treat anybody walking into a report. Yeah. So I'm opposed to that.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, but we are limiting and putting restrictions here. So I do think showing the awareness that we have folks who may be in need, and what are we going to do with that need if it comes to our front door?
We're going to treat it just like we would treat anybody that would have that same issue coming into River Forest. We treat them equally. So
I had the same thought that Erica had, that based on some of the questions about how does this work in the real world, we would do this and we would do this. It would be nice to have some set of guidelines or rules, or I don't know what the 7-page thing in Naperville is, to accompany whatever, if we come up with, if it's the executive order that's in place right now, or an ordinance, to just flesh it out into how it would work in the real world.
But that's the problem. The real world is with a whole bunch of scenarios, and the federal government isn't spelling out what they're supposed to be doing. So how can we come up with something that the federal government isn't encompassing with one document? And that's the problem I'm having here. So
I don't think we're trying to solve the federal problems issue.
We are.
I do think
we are trying to solve the problems, because you're saying you want a document that spells out what the federal government should be doing. And I don't see it that way. I'm saying we're not the federal government. I'm saying we're not restricting everybody.
Yeah.
I know, but that's my point. And so now you're asking me all the scenarios that needs to be put together in this. We're never going to pass an ordinance.
All the scenarios?
No,
saying
you said, what are we going to do if this happens? What are we going to do if that happens? What are we going to do if this happens? There's so many scenarios, Erica. How are we going to come up? We're not going to do any ordinance. What you're saying is, if
no, I'm asking for this.
What are you
and
asking?
Then, for if something happens with asylum seekers and they come to our front desk, what are the things that might be applicable to them? In the same way that we ask for, you know, when
we don't do asylum applications, we're not
asylum
the federal
seekers.
Government,
right? I'm not asking for applications. What I'm saying is, we have an aging population in River Forest. What are some of the services that they might need? Where do we go to?
But we're not letting
that.
Like, that's the point, is that's what we don't want. We don't want them, not because we don't want them. It's because it would be inhumane to have anyone, you know, step in front of our door, and we're not prepared to handle that. And that is why Mayor Johnson from Chicago asked us to coordinate our efforts, all of us, so that Chicago could be the place that can handle all this, because they are equipped to do it. And he acknowledges that we are not. And so I think he's right. I think Chicago is right on this. And he's trying desperately to make things go right over in Chicago. So I think by coordinating our efforts, by helping him coordinate our efforts, I think this will go smoothly and it will be more humane to any of the asylum seekers that want to make Chicago their home.
I understand coordinating efforts. I understand not wanting folks to come to the door of Village Hall. But if they do, you know, Forest Park has a plan in place, right? They're going to contact Salvation Army to help with housing. And I think there's some other part to it too. Like, they contact someone else in social services, you know. I think us just having some sense of that and knowing as a trustee what that is helpful and good.
Yeah, I think the best thing we could do right now is to make sure that the bus gets to a place that they can be cared for and cared for immediately, versus moving everybody around and, you know, and trying to work things out that, I mean, that there are no resources to work things out. The resources are sitting in Chicago, and Brandon Johnson, Mayor Johnson's asked us to coordinate our efforts in that regard. And I think that is a wise move and the most humane
humanitarian move that we could do.
So that's our so that's the plan.
That's the plan.
So I have some thoughts as well. And I first want to thank village staff and the village attorney for revising their original executive order. I'd spoken with Matt and mentioned to him a couple of concerns I had with the way it was the first executive order was drafted, and potentially having some unintended consequences impacting our local students from Dominican and Concordia and those who are over 18 years of age in our community. For example, it could have required background checks on bus drivers and otherwise have prohibited many of the buses that come to and from Dominican Concordia for sports, cultural events, and other academic activities. And I see that the version before us tonight has some revisions to address some of those types of buses, and I do appreciate those revisions. I still have some concerns about unintended consequences based on the wording of the draft ordinance before us tonight. And I have some questions about other language in tonight's version. Some of them dovetail with Erica's comments as well. And I'm also concerned about this, the executive order that's in place right now and this proposed ordinance being our village's only word and action on this humanitarian crisis. So I'll start with that concern. The executive order that was signed on the 29th is the only thing I've seen come from River Forest about the asylum seeker crisis. And for sure, River Forest has not planned to take care of refugees. And we haven't budgeted for it. We don't have the skills or other resources needed to do it. And I doubt that our residents would be approve us shifting money in our budget to cover this or to increase their taxes to do it. But I don't think that the executive order or this redrafted ordinance we're looking at tonight, standing alone, reflect who we are as a community and what we have to offer those in need and how we want to show up in this crisis. And somewhat to Erica's point, the questions that I, some of the questions I have in my mind is how did this work? How does this work in real life? If there is a bus that's identified it, somewhere it, within the confines of our village and our police go to that bus, are our police instructed to ask the bus passengers, do you need water? Do you need food? We're reading in the press that these people have been on the road for over a day and haven't had any food. Do you need sanitary supplies? There are babies who are in diapers. They weren't sent off with, the supplies that we would have if we were taking a 24-hour trip. Do you need feminine products? Do you need to use the bathroom? Some of these buses have toilets. We know that these toilets are overflowing. They're stopped up if they have them. Do you need warm clothes? We read in the press that they're being dropped off. You're saying Chicago's set up. Not so much. Yesterday's headline was they dropped them off, from Glen Ellen train station to the Chicago Ogilvy, and then they gave them a piece of paper about where to go, and they walked for half an hour in the cold in T-shirts and flip-flops and shorts with maybe a thin blanket. So can't we have a stash of these supplies and offer them to asylum seekers if they come through town before we send them on their way? To me, it doesn't take much, but it could make a huge difference to a family who's been on the run, on the road, shuffled about with little to no provisions or humanitarian care for weeks. And even if every one of us in this room donated two things, a jacket and a hat, an empty bin and a box of granolas, two pair of gloves, we would have a stash.
Right.
And okay. if please let me finish.
Yeah, hurry up, please.
And if our police were called to see a bus, I would hope that they would grab this stash and offer that and make it a little bit better for these people who are caught in this broken system. And if we publicize this in the village, I think we'll get many more than what I'm talking about tonight. And we'd be able to replenish those supplies if they're used. And I hope that they do get used and that we can help out. And I'd be willing to work on this if our police would be willing to do it. What about if someone on the bus is sick, as Erica mentions? Do we have a plan for that? You know, their condition could deteriorate between when they pass through our town and we're stopped and they're sent on to Chicago and they somehow get their way to that landing ramp, and then they're put on another bus and it's many, many more hours until they're actually processed. And we can make a difference here if we actually just ask the question, you know, do you have people who are sick? Because, you know, there are tragedies that we could prevent. I think we need to think about these things. I think it's within our ability to help these people out even a little bit. You know, we're not going to fix the broken immigration system, but we can make a difference when people who are caught in that broken system find themselves in our lovely community for, you know, whatever period of time. And Oak Park, for example, has garnered their resources, financial and otherwise, and they have a robust system set up to support asylum seekers. I have a sheet here of Oak Park's services or opportunities that they offer their residents, and I'm sure they'd offer them to River Forest residents also, who would like to volunteer their time or donate money. For example, you can donate specific things that are needed by bringing them to certain places. You can order things that are needed online and have them delivered to the helpers. You can deliver prepaid meals. You can do laundry. You can offer translation services, legal services. You can offer to sort clothes. River Forest hasn't done anything to publicize this, as far as I've seen.
Totally disagree with that.
Maybe we could.
I totally disagree. I think you're going.
I'm gonna just finish my thought.
Let me finish
and then you can address it. And I would ask that we put this and the links to the Facebook pages that are of groups that are helping prominently on our website, so that, you know, along with whatever else we have in place, whether it's the executive order or another ordinance, we give our residents an opportunity to show up for these people who are caught in this situation. And then I also have specific comments about the draft ordinance that I can just, there's like 8 sets of comments I can give them to you, Lance, and Matt.
Well, we're going to take a vote on this, but I want to make sure I want to comment on it. I think River Forest is a great community, and I think River Forest gives a lot. In fact, I gave and donated to the congregation.
And I want people to have that opportunity.
And so I don't know. I'm a River Forest. I'm very satisfied with my giving. I'm helping. I'm doing what I can. And I know talking to all my neighbors and the residents, they're doing their part as well. And that I want to speak to the residents. Thank you very much. Because that's what this humanitarian crisis needs. It needs people to help. And the congregation, communities of congregations are doing a great job of trying to collect money, try to collect whatever they need for this humanitarian crisis. But it cannot and should not land on the government steps. It cannot and should not. We are not resourced for that at all. When you said you'll volunteer, are you going to give us your 24/7 volunteer time for the next, you know, whenever? Because this is not over. And if you want to do that, Katie, then we need to hear that. But if you're just saying, I'll help when I can, that's not good enough. Because we cannot just hand off this work to our already stretched staff. But I will say, I have spent enormous amount of time talking to many residents who have given to many nonprofits. And they're very grateful and they feel very happy about it. And they believe that that's what they're going to do. So
I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah. So No, you're not. You're saying we should do this work.
No,
so,
I'm saying we should post this on our website so our residents know what they can do.
No, you told me let's go ahead and try to donate. But anyway, I'm not going to get into. I just want to make sure you understand. We will be happy to post that. I mean, I don't think there's an issue about posting links at all. at all. But go ahead, Russ.
No, I guess what I'm saying, and I heard what you said, let's give them some jackets, let's give them some water. But it doesn't stop there. And what I'm saying is I know these families. I come from immigrant families, so I know. You don't just give me a bottle of water today and a meal today and expect me to stay here and feel like that's going to let me survive. This is their warm temperatures, coming here in the cold, letting them sit there, out there in the cold, wander around. That's not helping at all. I think you think it does, but it doesn't. You're just letting them have some false idea that they're going to be able to survive here, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. Look at even the city of Chicago and the housing. That little boy died at 5 years old because it was just cold. They're sick. There's a lot of costs that you have to provide. Now, mind you, if there was someone who was needing emergency and they were dying, yes, it'd be like anybody else who got hit by a car or anyone who falls. Yes, we'd send them. But from what I last recall, we don't have a hospital here or a forest. They're all going to go somewhere else anyway if they need medical attention. So, you know, I appreciate the thought. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the thought. And yes, but we in River Forest are too small. We can't accommodate and provide the resources that are needed for the migrants and the migrant families. It's going to take a lot more. And even Oak Park is already spending way above more than what they wanted. They just barely got another extension for another month, is what I recall they had in the newspaper. So it's not a never-ending amount of resources. It has to be a lot more. And it's not as easy as what I'm hearing you say, Katie, that we can just put a couple of links and they're going to be okay and River Forest is doing a terrific job. It's not the way it is. No, I mean, I get excited because I do think that you're making it sound too simple as to what is needed for these migrant families.
Okay, and I've been trying not to interrupt you. Just to clarify, I want to make sure that you understand that I'm not saying we let them off the bus here and that they stay here and that we incorporate them into our community. But when they're passing through, if the people on that bus need food, need water, need warm clothes, we should have something ready to give them as they go on their way.
The government cannot do that. If we want to partner, if we want to identify not-for-profits that we want to coordinate with, just like we do for Thrive and things like that, that's a totally different thing. We, as a governmental body, don't have the resources to do that. But there are, to Kathy's point, there's a lot of not-for-profits that are engaged and doing work, and we should be engaging them to help.
Well, we're talking with them, but I mean, they're also stretched right now. And that's why Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, asked us to coordinate this, because he knows we're all stretched. He knows that this is a tall order, and he wouldn't have gathered all of us over a Zoom call if he didn't think the best way to do this for everybody and for the those that are on the bus to go directly to a zoning landing zone so that they can have the help and the food and the bathrooms that they need. Because the bus drivers and the buses aren't going to be, they're not there to help them. They're there to deliver them. So I think right now we are a caring community. I've talked to so many people that are giving to this to this crisis, and I so much appreciate it. But for us here in our government, this is what we're responsible for. We need to create something that allows this humanitarian crisis to be taken care of in a humane way. And I think both the executive order and the ordinance, although, you know, we can debate it, as Lance said, it's a little bit odd because most of us haven't dealt with this, but this is talking with other mayors and talking with other folks, they believe this is the best way for us to all coordinate our efforts. And I agree. So I'd like to go ahead and, you know, unless you've got some substantive changes that you want us to look at with those 8 points.
Yeah, I do have some. Well, what are they? Should I go ahead and give you them?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So in the draft ordinance, the ninth whereas clause seems to be missing some words. Health and safety.
Safety. Oh, health and safety up there.
don't know what section.
Where are you? It's the last whereas on okay, so the first page.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Yeah, it looks like
what is.
It looks like the and if the and were deleted.
Mm-hmm. But to the health and safety of their passengers.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Yep.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And you're a second one, Keith?
Then there's two different sets of geographic areas in the document.
Okay.
9-1-6 refers to Chicago, Naperville, Joliet. And then
unscheduled intercity bus means any bus used for transportation of persons between the village of the tourist locations outside of the Chicago, Naperville, Joliet area that is not operating pursuant to the authorization. That one?
Yeah, there's that. And then there's another one that refers to Chicago, Naperville, Elgin. And I was confused about which okay. which area was.
It was Elgin. I didn't catch that. Yeah, Chicago, it's down below right before B. Chicago, Naperville, Elgin.
Right before B?
Yeah, B. B as in boy. Prohibited conduct. It starts with unscheduled bus stop. So is that just a?
If I were going to edit this right now, mm-hmm. I would say the best triangle to pick is the one that includes Elgin because Naperville Joliet is kind of down that way as well. It creates a metropolitan.
You created this one, right. So what would you recommend?
That we create substitute Elgin for Joliet.
Okay. Okay. So, and I think it's only in that one spot.
Elgin for Joliet.
Yeah, so only in E.
Because Julie and Isabel are aligned up. Okay.
Did you get that, Matt? So just okay. replace AE with Elgin.
Yes.
Okay.
Versus Julie.
Okay.
Section CA. This is on page 100 of the packet. Because
mm-hmm.
there's multiple Cs, so I have to tell you what page.
Right. Mm-hmm. The large C, right?
Processing.
Large C.
Processing.
Second sentence that begins within 4 calendar days.
Yes.
The chief of police, is it must, shall? There's a word that's missing there. The may, might.
Shall inform. Right.
Shall.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we should.
Non-discretion.
Right.
If the criteria have been met.
Okay.
So that needs to be inserted then.
Yeah.
It should be shall. And that's an important shall because we don't. The police chief has no unilateral, unqualified discretion to say yay or nay.
Mm-hmm.
Simply have all the criteria been provided.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Approve. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then on page 101 of the packet, section CC, big C, little C.
Okay.
I'm not clear what's meant by that. It's the chief of police has to do something within 5 calendar days. But it doesn't say 5 calendar days of what? Of receiving the application, of deciding the application.
So it says
the way I read it is within 5 calendar days of making the decision, it has to be reduced to writing.
Right. Right. He denies it and then he has to write it of his findings.
And then transmit it so that they have to decide, the chief of police has to. Well, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, however you think it should be. It just isn't clear right now because he's doing it within five days, but it doesn't say 5 days of what?
Of denying the application.
Right.
That's how I read
that's
it.
How, that's
right.
how I read it.
Okay. So I think it seems clear.
And he has the time to approve the application or deny it. If it's denied, it has to be reduced to writing within 5 days and then transmitted.
Okay, I would suggest that that's made clear.
Okay.
It makes it happen within 5 calendar days from the denial.
Yeah. From the date, just to put the last.
Right.
Just to be clearer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there seem to be two different sets of permitted disembarkation times in the draft.
Days and hours, are you on E?
Well, one's in B, mm-hmm. Roman numeral 6.
Yeah.
I guess that's in a definition.
Under the definition?
Yeah. Okay. And the other one is later on in the document under the heading days and hours of operation. They don't, those, they're not in sync.
I don't see.
One is 7 to 4.
Is 10 to 4.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So,
yeah,
what should it be? Matt, what should it be?
I think we prefer 10. That's both during the working hours of Village Hall's open.
10 to 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep going, Lance.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Section F.
Okay.
The second sentence refers to inner city buses. And is that intended or unscheduled inner city, or was that intended to be unscheduled inner city buses?
EF? Passenger pickup, drop off locations? Are you there?
Section F, and it's the second sentence that begins, all efforts will be made by the chief of police and their designee to escort or divert intercity buses to designated locations. Is that, did we mean to really say that, or do we mean to say unscheduled? Because I think that's a defined term in here. Yeah. Yeah. So we need to fix that.
Divert unscheduled.
Okay.
Okay.
And then section B2.
Back up.
Yeah.
Prohibited conduct. This is the second to last page. There's it's another B. There's two sets of Bs.
Mm-hmm.
This one's on page 102 of the packet. B2, operation of a bus without a village license.
Okay, there.
Seems to require every bus operating in the village to have a specific grant of authority from the village. But I don't think that's really what we mean. What you mean?
It shall be unlawful for any person to pass on the street. Or is he having obtained a specific grant? So, are you saying puts a unscheduled bus? I mean, operation of an unscheduled bus?
Whatever is intended. But I don't think that we mean to have every bus within the village needs
I think it should have it should relate to the
unscheduled bus.
Right.
Number one.
Okay.
It's a license that's referred to as the application, the granting by the chief.
All right. Yeah. So insert unscheduled bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the defined term is actually unscheduled inner city.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. And then just in general, when I read this, I see that the revision was made to carve out athletics and recreations, but I don't see that. I see that other things could still be caught in here, such as academic trips, which are not. Academic? I see scheduled as being like, you know, on a regular schedule with a bus. Yeah.
Scheduled and you're going from one place to
I think it's defined as like the schedule is accessible to the public, and I wouldn't call that scheduled.
Well, it could be.
Okay, well,
it's scheduled and unscheduled.
What's unscheduled is your point versus scheduled.
Because at least they had the exact same issue that you did, even though you called Matt. And basically, although we carved it out, I mean, it really is unscheduled versus scheduled.
But if a bus is coming from Texas and they're scheduled in their own minds to get to...
still not in their own minds. That's the issue.
Right.
Okay. Well, so I think we have a different opinion about what's scheduled and not. I thought it was a defined term here, but in my mind, things like academic trips, you know, mission trips, retreats, PACE transport that picks people up from their home, people who are seniors and people who qualify for special transport. I wouldn't call that scheduled in the way that you can see that schedule, you know, that's publicly available, you know, wedding and bachelorette parties. I think all of those could be caught up in this, depending on, you know, that definition. But, you know, you might have a different definition than what's scheduled in here.
Yeah, I think they're scheduled. You can't get a wedding bus without. I mean, I think they're licensed. And they're scheduled.
I think the way it was originally drafted, it was intended to be interpreted the way that Lisa and Kathy are suggesting now, but we added this exception, the car
to help you.
By doing that, you risk, I guess, trying to say that it has to be, it has to cover the whole universe of everything.
And we can't, I mean, that's the problem. And
that's
so
why I said some of this.
We're trying to.
The
rules are basically defined that the police, like they do all the time, when there's something that they're investigating, if there's a bus that someone has reported, they go and they do an investigation.
Right.
Look into it. And if they have, if there's, you know, an interpretation where this is really what I would say is scheduled within the meaning we've been talking about, they would stop the investigation and say, okay, this isn't what I'm saying.
Well, based on what I read in this draft, you know, it says regularly scheduled service would be, you know, schedule that's published in advance and available to the general public. So I read these things being include these examples being caught in up in it.
Yeah, to me, a scheduled bus route very much is like a Greyhound bus or something, right? That is what it's supposed to mean.
But we also say it's the police discretion. Yeah. I mean, you know, so we could cover potentially things that may not be publicly available information.
Any schedule means it's expected to be where at a location.
Right. Right.
In the normal going on of the village.
Again, I remember. And remember,
I think if Greg Abbott has a bus coming from Texas to our area, if they're expecting to be in River Forest on a certain day. I don't think that that's listed.
And that's kind of my interpretation, but it will.
I think what Katie's saying is, you know, all good. But I think, again, we took this model ordinance from Chicago, and they have got a lot more issues in terms of what could be an exception to this. And I think, again, you know, without making it so complex and trying to do the right humanitarian thing for everybody, you know, I think with the some of the changes that Katie made, you know, legally, I think it reads well.
Not sure why.
Rez?
No, I was just saying under 9.2-31, there's the definition of unscheduled bus stop and what it means. So,
but they're debating on what's when you, it's scheduled. Is it publicly available? So,
well, that's what the definition is in your document.
Yeah.
So, I just recommend that we give this ordinance some more thought. Both in terms of what it says and what it's intended, what we intend, and some thought about how River Forest wants to show up for those in dire need who come through our village.
And I think we do want to, I think by passing this ordinance now, it does provide a lot of that, if not more, because it gives complete direction to our staff and our police department to treat these people with humanely and hopefully bring them to a place where there's warmth and food and they can sleep. Hanging out in anywhere is not the right thing to do. So I think I'm comfortable with a few of the changes that were recommended and you documented some of them. We'll make sure. I'll ask Rez and Lisa, are you okay with some of the changes that, you know, there were legal changes that we were discussing?
I'm fine with Katie's changes.
Okay. So, so I think with that, I think this, I mean, let's take the vote unless there's any further comment from anybody else.
I don't have anything else.
Okay.
I could say something.
Yeah, please, John. Okay. Okay, take the vote then.
Okay. Agenda item J, ordinance declaring rules and regulation regarding unscheduled inner city buses. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
No.
Trustee Bachner.
No.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
And then you have to call me because it's a split.
President Adusi.
Yes, this is a right humanitarian decision to make, and I'm very proud that River Forest residents and the trustees that voted yes for this is giving direction so that we can place these asylum seekers in the right spot. Thank you.
This is an ordinance that requires four.
Oh, it does? Well.
Okay.
I thought we could do this.
It imposes a penalty.
Well, then we should.
It
then we should have taken it off.
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. So if it fails, then what is it? Come back?
So there's no, as village president, you can direct it to be put on the next agenda.
Well, we will. And I apologize to everybody that that we missed this. Yes, should have happened.
Does the executive order still stay in place? Yes. Okay.
Yes. We'll just keep the executive order. We'll bring it up next month when we have a full complement of, and then we can make these changes.
Yeah.
So. Well, the changes,
are going to
be made.
No, we can make them officially.
We'll make it. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No worries. All good. All right. So then that ends our, I think, the evening. So we have no executive session. So if I can get a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. Second.
Okay.
Hey, Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
President Adusi. Meeting adjourned.